If you're like most women I know, you want to trust the Lord and fearlessly share Jesus. Yet something holds you back. Maybe you're struggling to navigate our culture. Maybe you wrestle with fear or lack skills. Maybe it's easier to stick in your comfort zone and keep your mouth shut rather than to talk about your faith, especially across cultures. That's what the Blue Cord podcast is all about. I'm your host, Karen Bajani, and if sharing your faith has been hard for you and you long to be brave, strong, and courageous, this is for you. Hey there, welcome back. As you're out there in the wild engaging with non-believers, it's easy to say, I'll pray for you. Still, very few Christians are praying together in the moment with non-believers. Now, that may be because they're wrestling with these two questions. Can I do it? And will it be worth it to initiate prayer with a non-believer in Jesus' name? It sounds awkward, doesn't it? Well, wherever you are on your faith walk today, this episode will give you the skills and the motivation to confidently and courageously do it. Now, this season, we've been focusing on topics that amplify our new Blue Cord discipleship study. And if you've been a part of that, I'd love to hear how it's impacting you. Just drop me an email at karen@ihopeministries.org. You can learn more about leading a Blue Cord group study on our website, thebluecord.org. So let's get started. Today's guest serves with a ministry that welcomes many refugees from some of the world's least reached nations who have resettled in North Texas. She's with the Northwest Community Center and Refugee Service Team in Texas. So Betsy, welcome.
Thank you, Karen. I am just excited to be here today. It is a privilege. And I want to say first that I just appreciate the work that you and Renaud are doing. I served in the Muslim world for 18 years. And so for me, it is such a blessing and encouragement to see people like you and your husband who are seeking to mobilize others to step past cultural differences and share their faith right here in America. I read your Blue Cord book and was so privileged to go to the Blue Cord conference last year. So I'm happy to be here today.
Oh, you know what? You're already making me cry. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the work you're doing among refugees?
I serve at the Northwest Community Center in Vickery Meadow, and that is a neighborhood in Dallas, Texas that is one of the largest refugee resettlement in the United States. And our vision is to aid and empower refugees as well as invite them to new life in Jesus. We host many programs for refugees, like an after-school program, youth tutoring, youth discipleship, job readiness, resource distribution, and English classes. But my role, I'm so excited about. I get to lead a women's conversation club to help refugee women practice their English. And I do this together with volunteers. We also visit women in their homes, and we host a monthly baby shower for refugee neighbors who are expecting babies. And that is super fun. So I am just excited about all the things I get to do.
So you're right in the heart of things. I love it. So one of the big assumptions that I often see Christians make is that women of other faiths, like Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists, that they would not be interested in talking with us and especially having us pray together with them in Jesus's name. Now, you work with women from many nations. What's been your experience about that?
So I'd say two things. One, they're open to talking, and two, they're open to being prayed for. I find that women of other faiths and cultures are open to talking. They are used to interacting with friends on a daily basis so much more often than we do here in America. And often they're missing that. They feel isolated. Due to language and cultural barriers, it is so difficult to come to a new country and make new friends. However, on our side, often we get intimidated when we see someone who looks different from us, especially someone who might be wearing the hijab, the Islamic dress. But in reality, many of them would welcome a friendship, and they're just longing for someone to take that first step. And as far as praying for them, Karen, I see that so many of these women are actually going through hardship and difficulty, and they desperately need God's intervention. When I've asked people if I could pray for them in Jesus' name, to be honest, I cannot remember a single time when someone said no. Now, I do have to admit I've had some awkward moments because there are times that when I say, can I pray for you right now? They might not understand what on earth I'm talking about, especially if there's a language barrier.
Yeah.
But if I take a minute to explain it really carefully, that I believe God loves them and cares for them, and I believe he answers prayer in Jesus' name, pretty much no one says no.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. I love it. That reminds me of myself. As many times as I've invited or initiated prayer in Jesus' name, I've never been turned down once. There have been some women who've awkwardly stared at me as I bowed my head and prayed, just wonder about what it is I was doing and that I was actually talking to God. But no one's ever turned me down. And for our listener, it can seem risky to initiate prayer with someone who has a really different worldview. And so how did you, Betsy, personally get the motivation to initiate prayer with a non-believer?
So you are totally right. It can seem risky. And I have to say, a lot of times I just keep my eyes shut so I can focus on God and not on the person who's maybe staring at me. To be honest, sometimes on the inside, I'm worried that someone's going to think I'm a crazy religious fanatic or just plain weird.
Isn't it interesting? But we're like worried about what people think instead of what God thinks and giving him the glory. Guilty as well.
Now, my experience is with Muslims, so I'm sharing from that perspective, but I think this works with people from any faith. What helps me is to remember that they have absolutely no one praying for them in the name of Jesus. I remember years ago when I went to Turkey, I looked around and I realized that no one in my line of vision had Christian parents, grandparents, aunts or uncles who prayed for them. And that gave me a burden to step up and be someone who would pray for them on my own, but would also offer prayer.
As you were sharing that, Betsy, had made me think, we're the first line of defense, right? The very first line of defense. We are salt and light in the world. In that moment, I love that picture. I don't think I will walk out my front door again without thinking about that.
I also want to tell you about the very first person I asked if I could pray for her in Jesus' name. This was in Turkey over 20 years ago, and I was scared to death. But one of my mottos is just do it afraid. So I stepped past the fear I felt inside, and I said something like, I believe God loves you and wants to help you. He answers prayer. Can I pray for you right now in the name of Jesus? And she said yes, and it ended up being a beautiful prayer time. I thanked God for creating her uniquely and beautifully. And when I opened my eyes, Karen, I saw tears sliding down her face. Somehow, as I prayed, the Spirit of God touched her.
It's moments like that that we remember and we cherish, and it gives us the moral courage to keep doing it again and again. And then that brings us the joy that comes when we shine our lights for Christ in the world. And then that makes us want to do it again and again. It's one thing to be inspired to initiate prayer, and it's another thing to step outside of our comfort zones to actually do it. I know you have lots more stories. Tell me what it looks like in real life. Tell us another story about how you practically initiated prayer in Jesus' name.
So before I tell a story, I just want to give a simple principle, and that is to listen carefully to the person you're talking to. I try to listen so that I can understand the person's needs. And I find that as I develop a relationship, people are more open to talking about their needs. And then, we tend to say, oh, yes, I'll pray for you. But I ask them then and there if I can pray for them. And that gives them the opportunity to experience something of the work of the Holy Spirit personally. And yes, I say something like, I believe God cares about you, and I believe he listens to prayers and answers prayers in Jesus' name. Is it okay if I pray for you right now in Jesus' name? And I can remember one time recently during our women's conversation club, fire alarms started going off in the building. So it was a really wonky situation. We had panicked women rushing out to the parking lot. And I noticed an Afghan woman began crying. And at first, I assumed it was PTSD, and maybe that had something to do with it. But when I asked, I learned that she had just learned that her sister back in Afghanistan had been diagnosed with cancer. And so I asked if I could pray for her sister right then and there. And I ended up having a lovely moment praying with not one, but a group of Afghan women. I held up my hands and cupped them facing heavenward, just like Muslims do when they pray. And as I opened my eyes, I saw that every woman in the circle had her hands cupped and extended heavenwards, and they were praying along with me. And it was just a really sweet time.
You brought some really great points up. When we focus on, oh, I got to walk out the door and I've got to look for someone to pray together with in Jesus' name, then it becomes about me and my need and my quest to do that. However, when we're building a natural relationship, prayer will spring naturally out from that relationship as we're listening to the needs and the concerns that woman might have.
Yes. Just last week, a woman walked into the Northwest Community Center where I work, and I struck up a conversation. She was a lovely woman, open to friendship, so open to talking. And as we talked, I learned that she was suffering from a hemorrhage. She had continuous bleeding that was sapping her strength and ruining her health. And for me, it was a normal response to say, I believe Jesus has the power to heal. Can I pray for you? Now, let me say it was a normal response, but it was also scary.
Yeah.
Because this woman was a doctor herself. And I guessed that she might not really believe that God would answer prayer to heal. But I just did it anyway. And I said, I believe Jesus has the power to heal you. Now, in that instance, I also told the story from Luke 8 about how Jesus healed the woman with bleeding and the woman who touched his robe, how he healed her. And that just came up naturally. She was very attentive, listening to the story, said it was interesting. And as I prayed for her, when we were finished, she thanked me. And I've continued praying for her daily since then. And I'm also trying to check up and see how she's doing.
So four things happened there. She must have been a person of peace, someone God's wooing, because she allowed you to pray for her together with her in Jesus' name. Next, you prayed together with her. Third, you brought to mind scripture that was really natural in the situation for her. And then fourth, you were loving on her. And so you were doing four of the five essentials right there, all in one fell swoop.
And it just came naturally. And I will say, I would encourage the listener not to feel pressured. Oh, I have to share a Bible story too. I think that there's power in praying in Jesus' name. But at that moment, it just came up very naturally.
The Holy Spirit brings scripture to mind at just the right time. He gives us the words to say when we're attentive and we're seeking and we're listening. So I bet that's exactly what happened in that moment for you.
Yes, it did.
We don't have to be all worried and concerned about that. The Holy Spirit brings things to mind.
That's right. We don't have to make things happen. We just have to abide in Jesus, and He makes things happen.
It's so awesome that we get to be instruments in His hands. Betsy, anything else on your heart that you'd like to share with our listener about initiating prayer in Jesus' name?
Yes. What has been on my heart lately is to remember that our ministry flows out of a living, abiding relationship with Jesus. When we cultivate a life of continual conversation with God, just offering prayer in the small daily moment, then offering to pray for others in Jesus' name flows more naturally out of who we are. When we abide in Jesus and He in us, we will bear much fruit. I've been meditating on John 15, and I want to encourage our listener to do the same, because our main goal is not to share with others and pray for them. Our main goal is to abide in Jesus. As we invite Him into our everyday, He opens doors of opportunity. And the second thing is, I think it's important to make this a matter of daily prayer. Mm-hmm. Our pastor at Northwest Bible Church in mm-hmm. Dallas encourages us to pray daily, Holy Spirit, bring me into conversations about Jesus. And I think this is a prayer that God delights to answer. We can also pray, Lord Jesus, give me opportunities to pray for people in your name. And as we are praying this on the daily, he will open doors. And when he does give us an mm-hmm. opportunity to pray for someone live and in person, then let's continue praying for that person on the daily and follow up with them. And in closing, Karen, I'd invite people in Dallas to check out the Northwest Community Center and see how they might get involved mm-hmm. in serving refugees. Our website is nccrefugees.org. I think you're going to put that in the show notes,
but I'd encourage
any Dallas listener to check us out at nccrefugees.org.
That's great. You've given us a lot to think about today. And my listener, Blue Cord friend, if you have enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate it so that it will be more searchable for others who are looking for content just like this. So now let's take a moment to just ponder and process what Betsy shared. I think you gave us some really great practical takeaways. Number one is to step outside of our door every single day, praying for those divine appointments and being available and open and looking. Mm-hmm. I think that's half the battle right there, is to be looking with intention. So my Blue Cord friend, just a couple questions for you. Can you imagine yourself initiating prayer in Jesus' name with a non-believer right now? And if so, what would stand in your way of doing it? What do you think the Holy Spirit is prompting you to think about or to do differently this week based on what you heard on this episode? If you'd like more inspiration and practical tips, sign up to get our weekly e-newsletter at thebluecord.org. And you can take your learning deeper on this topic by reading the book, The Blue Cord, or by leading a Blue Cord discipleship study with your friends. I'll put the links to those in the show notes, and thank you for joining us today. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening to this podcast, a donor-supported series from iHope Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen. To get more involved in The Blue Cord, start small. Read my book, The Blue Cord, and sign up now to get my e-newsletter at thebluecord.org.